Oh, scrap. You're listening to All Things Transformers.
She may be beautiful.
I love you.
But she's also tough as nails.
This ends here, Cons.
And she'll never back down. Arcee is back, and the battle begins. Transformers Prime.
Relax. I just want to talk to you.
Don't you mean you and your new friend?
Kid, there's a lot you don't understand.
Oh, no, I get it. The first rule of Robot Fight Club is you don't talk about Robot Fight Club. What you need to understand is that I don't want a bunch of crazy talking vehicles following me around trying to get me killed.
Look, Jack, is it? Your personal safety is exactly why Optimus Prime has requested your presence.
Wait, Optimus who?
You may be in danger because you are one of the few, one of the only who have ever seen us.
Dude, what are you waiting for? Go with!
Scrap.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers version 2.0. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and joining me is Pecan Corp Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. How are you, sir?
Hanging in there.
And it's been a while, and of course, in this latest ATTF interview, we welcome the voice of Arcee. She was also the voice of Electric King in the World Is Not Enough video game way back in 2000. She is the upcoming voice of Katana in Beware the Batman. Sumali Montano, hello.
Hey, thanks guys for having me today.
Yes, how are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Very awesome. We are happy to have you here. Before we get started, can you give us the scoop on what's going on in your world? I don't know, maybe any upcoming projects a year out or anything like that?
You know, I talked to you the other day, and I gave you a little peek into, but I can't say anything. And this year has been just kind of an amazing year for video games for me. It's been really, really nice. So I've got a handful of really, really exciting stuff coming out on that front. But I can't share these things, so I can't say anything. But I think most of them are coming out in 2013. So I know I've got one coming out in August, that I'm really excited about, too. Video game front is going terrifically. You mentioned Katana on Beware the Batman. Really excited about that. We finally got our premiere date, July 13th, on Cartoon Network. And yeah, I kind of couldn't be happier about that too. Really, really excited. I saw the first two episodes and just fell in love with it. I love what they're doing with everything, the animation, the design. The writing is awesome. I hope people fall in love with it. And on camera, unfortunately, I don't have as much to report on camera. I booked these great recurring roles in two shows that got canceled. So I was like, oh, no.
Wait, what shows got canceled?
Monday Mornings, which is a David E. Kelly show on TNT.
And Touch.
Yeah.
Oh, you started in season two, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a couple episodes, and it was just fun because both shows were just great, great, great people to work with.
The funny thing about Touch is that it's Jack Bauer, it's Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, sorry, Jack. We're gonna bring you back, and we're gonna cancel this other show that you're in because it's not doing that well, or something. It's so funny. There was a news story out there that the reason why Touch was going away is because apparently it wasn't doing well in ratings, and Fox really wants to bring 24 back.
Wow! I did not hear that.
That's kind of silly.
I think there's a. One of the crew members has a dog, and the dog is on set. And the dog's name, I believe, is Bauer, which I just love.
Wow.
But yes, tune in for Beware the Batman, July 13th.
Yes, July 13th for Beware the Batman. All right, so let's go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. home of the Buckeyes. If anybody's from Ohio, go Bucks. Midwestern girl.
We're in that general area. Michael's in Indiana and I'm in Kentucky, so.
No way! I didn't realize that. Oh my gosh, it's late for you.
Oh, this isn't late.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, like bordering Ohio on both ends. That's born and raised Ohio.
Nice.
This is something Michael pointed out to me. I guess I should have done my research better. How in the world did it happen that you went from Harvard to Wall Street to Transformers? How does that all fit?
I'm still wondering myself. It's hilarious. I actually met somebody today, who happened to be a neurosurgeon, and he also graduated from Harvard, and he lived, we have dorms there, but they call them houses. And, I asked him what house he lived in, and he lived in the house next to the dorm/house that I lived in. And like, he knew that I knew he was a neurosurgeon. And then he asked me, he's like, oh, so what are you doing now? And I paused for a moment. I'm like, I'm a voiceover actor. And he just kind of looked at me. You don't really think of, you know, going to Harvard to become a voiceover actor. And I immediately said, do you know Transformers? Because he kind of like looked a little confused. I was like, do you know Transformers? And he's like, he nodded his head, of course. I'm like, well, I play RC, the lead female Autobot on the Transformers Prime cartoon. And he just kind of looked at me and nodded. And then was like on, like he had no idea how to respond to that.
It's one of those normal people that doesn't know anything about geekdom at all.
Geek culture.
Yes.
How did that happen? I still wonder myself, but I was a
teacher. Made this joke off air about, oh, she went to Wall Street, made her millions, and now she's a voice actress.
Oh, I wish that was the case. Are you kidding me? I wish that was the case. I did make a nice little chunk of change as an investment banker, but I took most of it and I traveled the world after deciding to quit banking. And then it was during my trip around the world. I bought one of those around the world tickets that you can, as long as you go in the same direction, you can keep on going for as long as you want until you obviously reach your starting point. But you know, kind of like no end, no specific dates. You can change everything. Yeah. And I bought one of those, and about 3/4 of the way around the world, I finally realized what I wanted to do with my life. And I was like, wait a minute, you've always loved acting. I had done it as a extracurricular all throughout, literally from like elementary school, middle school, all throughout high school, and all throughout college. I just didn't realize that I could choose that as a career. I literally didn't, it never even entered my scope of thinking, because a little bit I was raised with that mentality of, okay, you get to be a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer or a very successful business person. And I was like, oh, but I don't think I'm passionate about any of those things. And so I really had to, I literally took time off. I tried the banking route. It just wasn't for me. I knew that I wasn't passionate about it and I didn't love it. And I realized, you know, life is too short to be doing things that you don't really love. So
yeah.
I realized during my around the world backpacking adventure that I loved acting, and it literally hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was on a big boat in the middle of the Indian Ocean, sailing from point A to point B in Africa. And literally, like, the sun came up that day. I was on this big, and it wasn't any sort of luxury ship or anything. It was literally a barge. I was stowing away on a barge because it was the cheapest way to get from point A to B. And I think I like slipped the captain a 20, and I was like, could I just hop aboard and like, will you take me to Zanzibar? And he did. And on that trip, I realized, oh my gosh, I've always wanted to be an actor. Why don't I choose that as my career? And so that's how it happened.
Wow. That's an amazing story.
Wow. It's pretty weird. I mean, and it was a long time, you know, from that decision. I mean, it was a few years before I finally like really figured things out and started, you know, after that, I finished my trip. I started to do some smaller projects. I finally landed in San Francisco, And I started to do some smaller projects in San Francisco. And I started off doing voiceover. I think my first job was a radio commercial. And then my agent at the time was like, well, we'd like to send you out for on-camera stuff. And they said, are you ready? And I was like, oh, wait. Let me take some classes first. Because that's what I'm a geek about. I am a geek about studying. I love school. I love studying. And so I said, let me take some classes. I took some classes. Then they sent me out on auditions. And I was so blessed. And I booked them. And so I started working as an actor. And then eventually, I mean, I don't know how many. Do you want me to really go into the whole story, how I got down to L.A.? Or is that good for you?
Well, I was kind of interested in how one makes the transition from New York to, because I've heard stories where some voice actors will say, hey, I want to be a voice actor. And then they do like radio or advertising spots in New York and then make their way to L.A. or Hollywood.
Hmm. Okay, so you were curious about how I made the transition from.
It was by way of Africa?
Well, initially, the initial seed was on the Indian Ocean in Africa, off the coast of East Africa. But the specifics, it's not too dissimilar from that story that you just told. I mean, I started off, my first couple jobs were a radio commercial and a video game up in San Francisco. But I think the difference maybe for me was that I started off doing voiceover. And then I went over, I kind of like went off and did on camera. And for some strange reason, voiceover stuff dried up for me and it was all on camera. And I studied with a teacher once who told me, you have to go in the direction that the horse is taking you. And the horse decided, it seemed like it was going down the voiceover path, which I was thrilled about. That was my initial goal. And then it went off to on camera. And I just did, several years of on-camera stuff. I came down to L.A. I booked a little show called ER, which I was so, so lucky to, to book. And then I did that for many years. And then, what happened? My acting coach, my on-camera acting coach, was asked to cast some animation stuff. And it was a Stan Lee project. And he knew that I had done some voiceover back in San Francisco. And he said, hey, do you want to audition for this? And I did, and I booked one of the lead female parts. And so then it just literally fell in my lap, and I took that to my voiceover agent, my voiceover agent now. But I called her up, I talked about, what I was doing and the project. And by the end of it, she was like, do you have a demo to send to me? I said, no, but I have an on-camera demo. And she said, great, I'll watch it. So I dropped that off. 2 days later, they brought me back into the agency. They're like, we loved your on-camera demo. We want to see what you can do behind the mic. They threw me, I think, like 4 or 5 commercial scripts and 4 or 5 animation scripts. And then they thought about it for a little while, and they called me back, and they're like, we would love to have you. And that was how it was born. And I think I had only been with my agency for not even half a year, and RC came around, which... Wow. It was in the first 6 months that I had signed with my agency. So it was just really a weird series of events. But now you look back at it and it's like, oh yeah, it just kind of everything fell into place.
So all fell together. Nice.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Yes.
in a much longer way than you had hoped.
No, it's nice because when we interview voice actors, we like to get a feel for, who they are, where they came from. It's not all about, oh, tell me about your character, do this funny voice. It's, I really want to know, how did you get here? How did this all culminate into you being in this show?
Yeah, I mean, for me, if I hadn't been doing on-camera work, I don't think I would have fallen back into voiceover. And I wouldn't have gotten into on-camera work if I hadn't started down the voiceover path. So it's just kind of like work begets work. It didn't all start with voiceover. It kind of veered around, and now I feel really fortunate I get to do both.
Yeah.
Nice.
So speaking of Transformers Prime.
Yes.
So
I thought
you got
about it.
Exactly. So you got this. You got the call for Transformers Prime, and did they specifically say we want you to read for RC, or did they give you a number of roles, or I should say?
You know, in this case, I did get. It's common for actors when you're auditioning for a new series. I think it's fairly common for us to get multiple characters for that, you know, for that series. Any, you know, what's right for you anyway in your range. I auditioned initially. I auditioned for RC and June, Jack's mom, and then when I went to the callback, they asked me to read Nico as well. So I read for all three parts, and now it's kind of funny. When I think and I look back, and obviously I know how perfect Tanya and Marky are in their roles. Mm. I think how funny it was that I even attempted to audition, but that's what we do. You know, as an actor, you get the scripts, you do your work, and you put it out there and you see what sticks.
Had you watched any previous incarnations of RC before getting the role?
I did. I definitely watched some G1 episodes. I watched some of the Transformers animated movie, the original animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
I also watched the live action movies because I saw that Greta Lyle was RC in, I can't remember, I think it was number 2.
Yeah, it's Revenge of the Fallen.
Yeah, I think
she
I'd
had
already
one line?
Seen one.
Yeah, she had like one line.
I know, I literally watched the whole thing and I was looking for, and I mean, I heard about it, I was like, that's it? What? Wait, you know? But, yeah, those were kind of the things that I watched. But I felt like it covered the gamut with those.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, RC gets a lot of credit in the fandom for being a strong female character. So how do you think she compares with her G1 counterpart?
Oh, how does Transformers Prime RC compare with G1 Sublues?
Yeah.
You know she's listening to this, so
right.
You know.
Of course. No, I mean, are you kidding? I watched it with so much awe and respect because, I mean, you just know what, I mean, she's iconic. Mm. It's hard for me to compare them though, because, you know, when I got the audition, it was fairly obvious to me that they were looking for something different this time around, you know? So I think it's a tough comparison because I think that they're just really, they're very different characters.
Right. Oh, and I'm sorry, that was a bit of a pointed question. I was actually looking for you to say that. To say, but, well, you know, the character that Sue Blue played in the 80s was more of a mothering, she was more of I don't want to say damsel in distress. You know,
I'm not going to say that.
but she wasn't, you know, a Transformers Prime RC.
Yeah.
Where the Transformers Prime RC is written to be much more, a much stronger character.
Yeah. I mean, it's really tough to compare. I mean, the writers for Prime, it just feels so blessed. I mean, they really wrote her so well, so, you know, with such a deep backstory and such history that we got to delve into in the series that, you know, even the number of episodes that we have in Transformers Prime to explore all of that compared to G1, you know, it's not a fair comparison, I think, right. But, you know, I was just in awe though when I met Sue Blue. I was like, oh my god, that's RC. Like, it was literally like I didn't really buy yet that I was RC. I was like, oh my god, there's RC. Wow.
And she can still do the voice, which is cool.
Well, that's cool, and I'm surprised there aren't any outtakes that have leaked on air with you. Maybe I don't know if this ever happened, but it would have been cool if Sue had actually gotten on the mic and you guys did dueling RCs. That would be funny.
Well, be awesome. When I first met her at that first recording session, she was there directing, and I was so like filled with nervous energy, it just kind of slipped out of my mouth. I was like, oh my God, why aren't you doing RC this time? And I was like, oh my God, did you just ask that question, Sumali? Oh my gosh, you're such an idiot. What just came out of your mouth? And I asked it, and she just kind of looked at me and she smiled and she was so gracious. And she said, oh, it's time to pass the torch. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. But I was just so taken aback because there is such a rich history to this franchise, and
right.
even if you don't know a ton of it, just even delving on the surface of it, you got to respect how deep it is and how many people it's touched and how many people, how many generations of people now are affected by it.
Did you watch the original show when you were younger?
I didn't watch it like I wouldn't come home and, come home to watch Transformers, but I hung out with my cousins a lot. I had two boy cousins and they watched it all the time. So whenever I was, whenever I'd be like, okay, after school, go over to my cousin's house, and they totally have it on. So I would watch it, but it would be more like in like snippets, and then on Christmases and stuff like that, they would get Transformers. And of course, like the boys would open their gifts and then they would disappear with their Transformers, and I'd be like, I wasn't in that world. It was more at that time for me, like, right. Oh, that's a boy thing,
Well, see, that was my childhood,
Really?
Yeah.
That's still childhood at 40 years old.
Well, now I get to enjoy it through my kids too. So,
great.
It works out though. I got my boys, and they get Transformers, and they love it. They were just playing with RC the other day.
Oh, good.
That sounds so wrong.
Yeah, well, exactly. Oh, okay. Aiden likes to shoot people in the face, and he and RC says, "I'm so glad I shot you in the face."
Oh my gosh. Well, I have a almost 1 year old now, and I so hope that he grows up to not just love Transformers, but really have an appreciation for the character Mommy plays.
Yeah, Michael has what is it, like, I don't know, 7 cabinets all in his all, like, oh. This giant cabinet display with over 500 Transformers.
Well over 2,000.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, 2,000 toys.
Well, I was a collector long before I had kids, and then when I started to have kids, I said, I need to put these behind glass, because as soon as they're old enough to grab them, they will.
You'll be losing pieces left and right.
Yeah, well, now, all the Prime toys are scattered on the floor because that's what I let them play with. Right. And they're literally, I have a path through my office that I can pace across while I chat with you guys, but because that's all I got, because the rest of the floor is covered with Prime toys.
Uh-huh.
They love these. They love playing with them. That and the Rescue Bots. They love the Rescue Bots.
How old are they?
Aiden, my oldest one, is 6, and my youngest, Gavin, is 4. He's going to be 5 next month.
Wow, 3 boys. That's your,
2 boys.
Oh, sorry, 2 boys and a girl?
Nope,
no,
just 2 boys.
Just 2 boys.
Aiden and Gavin.
I didn't hear that right. That was weird.
That's okay. But yeah, no, they're at such a good age. They're so cute. And the things they say, like I said, with Aiden on the floor playing with Starscream and RC says, "I just shot you in the face. That was a good move." And Starscream goes, "Ow, ow, ow!" just the things he says is hilarious.
Do they do the voices when they play?
No,
with
them? No, it's all his voice, But it's terrible.
Starscream should say "ow, ow, ow" after what happened to Cliff Jumper.
The way you said that, it made me think that maybe they're doing a little they're trying to put on a little Starscream voice there.
Oh no, No, well, that would be really funny, because if I could get him started as a voice actor early, the, know, the, and then someday he could introduce me to Welker. And... But no, he's just terribly cute. He's really fun to watch, and you know, I spend a lot of time in my home office, and he spends a lot of time on my home office floor right next to me because he doesn't want to play in his own room.
Oh,
it's terribly cute.
That's really sweet.
So, are there any outtakes, any funny moments, anything from the voice sessions for Prime that you can reveal that no one's revealed before? Who's the biggest joker in the cast?
Oh my god, there are so many of them. There literally are so many of them.
It's got to be Kevin.
I mean, I would say. I mean, I sit next to Kevin for most of the records, and I would say it could be him. But then there are days that, you know, Darren. I mean, Darren is so funny. And then there are days Nolan is hilarious. And then there are days Peter and Frank, they have their own show. Like, they just sit next to each other. They have, I think, one of my favorites. Like, they just riff off of each other so well.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And you get such a sense of how long they've been friends, how much they respect each other, how well they know each other. Right. And they did this, I think my absolute favorite bit of theirs. They did impressions of Edith and Archie Bunker.
Oh, you're kidding.
Holy moly. Right. Who's who? Oh, my God. So Frank is Edith.
Oh, my God.
Peter is Archie. And it is hilarious. I mean, we would just... Well, almost every time there are moments in a recording where, like, we just can't get started yet because everybody's still laughing. And that one, though, just that one killed me. I was rolling. But I mean, there's so many jokesters. I mean, there's so many fun moments. I don't know what stories you've heard. I think did Steve Bloom tell you about the string cheese story? That was one.
No. Well, you know, we talked to him about Rescue Bots, but we didn't get so much in the way of stories from Prime.
No, I think the one thing we came away from his interview is when we usually ask a question, is there any role that you have ever turned down? And one of the voice roles, and people have to go to the interview, was something to do with tentacles, and he just said, yeah, no, I can't.
Oh, my mine... God, that's hilarious. I see where that's going. I know where that's going.
I'm not even just go listen to the Steve Bloom interview.
He does a lot of anime, so, you know, that happens.
Yeah, anime and tentacles, I'm not doing those either.
Stay away from those.
But literally, you guys just... There are so many moments that are, like, everyone is so funny and so, I mean, they're all jokesters. I can't even, like, literally the first couple of records, I was freaked out because I was like, I have to, we're, you know, you have to get up and do these, like, serious speeches. And then you've got, you know, string cheese coming out of Darren Norris's nose. And then, you know, Kevin Michael Richardson throwing things out there, like, literally in between lines. And then, you know, Edith and Archie Bunker over here. And it's like, it is, I mean, and you can't even get a full appreciation for it truly unless you're in the room. Even the people on the other side of the glass, because they don't hear all this stuff because they hear it when they press the button and can, you know, want to talk to us. And it's only when you're really in the room that you can appreciate so much of the inside jokes that fly. But truly, there are so many. And one of the challenges is trying to keep a straight face through it all when you have to work.
I can imagine. I will say I did crack a smile. It's one of the episodes where Optimus is off being Orion Pax. I think it was in season 2. You and Bulkhead, RC and Bulkhead get into an argument, and RC's like, "You're pretty good at stating the obvious. Anything else you'd care to tell us?" And Bulkhead's like, "Nothing I can say in front of the children." I love that line.
I love
Kamara. Nice. I totally missed my cue. Sorry. I was just enjoying this so much.
Setting this up.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could tell you more. I wish I could tell you more stories, but literally there are so many, and there are some that are like that happen so much that I feel like there's such inside jokes that I don't know whether the people would appreciate it. But I mean, it's nonstop. It's truly nonstop. And just when you think we are like, okay, we're coming to a really serious scene, you know, RC is giving that speech on the, you know, on the plateau at Cliff Jumper's grave site. And then just when you think it's going to be serious, someone, and maybe it does happen to be Cam Arlott, but someone will bust out with something. Like he always does this My Three Sons song thing. And like he'll bust that out. And it became such a running joke. Like we were taking bets on when he would bust it out. At what page in the script or at what act would it come out? And, you know, it'd be like, wait, we're at act three and it hasn't happened yet. And then bam, you know, just when you least expect it. And it would just get all of us laughing so hard.
Tell us about Darren Norris and Cheese.
I don't remember exactly what happened, but it was, I just remember sitting there and I think, I'm pretty sure it was between him and Steve Bloom. And I you know, we get into these sessions sometimes where literally we're all sitting there and you're looking down, trying not to show that you're laughing because you don't want to impede on someone else's work when they're up at the mic. Because usually, you know, if it's a scene that I'm in, I'm standing up. But if I'm not in that scene, I sit back down. And, you know, it's like your whole body is convulsing and shaking because you're laughing so hard and you don't want to create a ruckus. And I just remember doing that and looking up. And I, where we sit, you know, I look up off to the left and I see Steve Bloom at the mic, but I see Darren Norris sitting next to him, literally with like string cheese, looked like it was coming out of his nose and he was like swinging it or something. And I'm like, oh dang, I gotta look down. I can't laugh. And cause you don't want to be that actor who, especially with the guys in that room, you don't want to be the actor who interrupts, you know, some great moment that they're just recording. And I'm like, oh God, I can't break. I can't laugh. I just hold my head down and bite my lip.
I can see Steve Bloom glaring at you from across the room and just talking in stars. You dare interrupt me?
Well, you know what? He's so nice. Nobody would do that, but that's the thing. Everyone's so nice and so respectful. At the same time, they're such jokesters. That's like, it's this like, funny, fine line between, you know, laughing and enjoying the moment and, oh yeah, wait, we have an important job here. We're doing something, you know. It's not neurosurgery, but, you know, it's our job.
Oh, man. The things I think of now that I could have had him say when we had him on, now all as I'm thinking is TF Prime Starscream say, who dares interrupt my coronation?
Oh yeah, I mean that whole line, like the way we sit in like a, what do you call it? It's like a square, but the side, right. one side of the square is missing, and that's the engineering booth. But so you imagine the other three sides, and then
it's the horseshoe.
Yeah, it's like a horseshoe, and all of the cons. Are along like the if it's an aerial view, all of the cons are along the left side of the horseshoe, and they are literally the naughty cons. I mean, the naughty cons are always up to some craziness, and it's usually, you know, Darren and Steve and Frank, and they're all like in that row, and then Peter sits next to Frank, and then Jeffrey sits next to me on the left at the base of the horseshoe, and then Kevin, I'm in the middle, and then Kevin's to the right of me, and then the humans are generally on the right side of the horseshoe.
Yeah, it's so funny. From the original G1 days, one of the classic Frank Welker stories is he made a feedback noise.
Yes.
And the engineer's like, I can't find it. And all the voice actors are just cracking up because it's, you know, they just look over at Frank and you can't tell that he's doing anything with his throat or his mouth because he's not actively acting it. He's just, he himself is I don't know where he's coming from.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you totally, I had completely forgotten about that one, but it's awesome. Like, he will just be watching you and you'll touch something or you'll touch a cord and he'll make that noise, like you're like the electrocuted noise. And you're like, oh my god, you know, and he's brilliant.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say crickets.
No, oh no.
30 years later, he's still doing crickets and people.
Well, I'm sure he could be. That wouldn't surprise me in the least, but
he does that electrocution sound, and you're like, ah.
Now, does he? Because we'll probably never get an interview with him. Do you know who does the? Is it he that does the voice, the beeps for B, or is that is that an effect that they use to put in? How is that? That you all like? Because in the show, Bumblebee will do his little beeps and RC will reply to him. And I'm like, how would that work in a voice session?
Oh, in a voice session?
Is there just like a little quip in the script that says Bumblebee does his beeps and you say this?
No, well, yeah, basically. I mean, it does. I had a brain fart. I had to think about that for a moment.
That's a good question, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Bumblebee's. Now I feel like I have to pull out a script. Wait, I'm pulling out a script. Hold on. Just to make sure that I'm answering the question correctly.
It has the English translation of what Bumblebee says in the script, or they just make you ad-lib it?
No. That's what I was going to say. I'm fairly certain. I just pulling one out. It will say Bumblebee's line in English. I mean, just written in English. And then, yes, usually Frank will voice it in.
So that's him doing the beeps in the show.
Well, I don't know. Okay. But in a record, even if one of us isn't there, which happens occasionally, someone will usually read that part because, you know.
In English, right?
Yeah. Well, okay. I was talking in general about any part where someone, you know, wasn't there, but he doesn't read it in English. He does it as beeps, but I don't know if the beeps that you hear on the show
are the same
from, or whether it's a placeholder or whether it's a, I'm not sure. So don't
quote me. They sound a lot more, technical, you know, it's like, well, I'm sure Frank could make those noises if you asked him to. But it doesn't sound like a person doing it on the show.
So they affected it a little bit, but I don't know for sure. So don't quote me. I'm getting nervous because I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier that Beware the Batman is coming out in July. How did that role as Katana come about?
How did it come about kind of for me in terms of getting cast in it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's actually a cool story. So, have you guys ever played Diablo 3?
Yes.
I haven't, no.
A lot.
So, are you familiar with the character, the Enchantress?
Yes.
So, I voiced the Enchantress.
Well, that was totally you.
This was one of those things where that audition, well, long story short, because I voiced the Enchantress, I got to work with Andrea Romano, who is just an awesome, unbelievably amazing director. And she is also directing us on Batman. But because I met her originally through Diablo, I think she got a chance to know my work. We became a little bit more familiar with each other. So when the role for Katana came up, I had the benefit of kind of having worked with her. So I auditioned for it, just like with RC, I auditioned for it initially at my agency, at my voiceover agency. And then they called me in for a callback on the at Warner Brothers, and she was directing the callback.
Yeah. So, just out of curiosity, did Andrea direct Diablo 3? Or was she there in some other capacity?
She did direct some of the sessions. I don't know. I don't know how many, but I that was where I met her, was through Diablo 3. And the funny thing about the Enchantress, I mean, that's the short story. The funny thing, though, about the Enchantress is when they auditioned that, you know, initially they said, we want an accent that nobody can place.
Right.
And I looked at it, and I looked at the picture, and I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck am I going to do with this? They don't even know what they want. They were like, well, maybe something like Icelandic or something, you know, but it had to have this like timeless quality to it. And I was like, oh my gosh, should I even do this? And it was one of those days I jump at everything, any opportunity that my agents give me, because they usually, and it's all great projects, but this particular script, I actually hesitated on. I so rarely do that, but I, of course, you know, did my work, and I went in and I decided, okay, I'm going to pick two totally random accents that I do, and I'm just going to squash them together and see what happens. And that's how I came up with the voice for the Enchantress, and it worked. And it just is so funny to me that it was an audition that I was a little bit hesitant about initially, but if I hadn't gone and I hadn't booked the Enchantress, I don't meet Andrea Romano, and I don't know if Katana happens.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like everything happens for a reason, and you never know. But when I got the audition for Katana, I was so excited. And then when I got the call back, I was even more excited. And then when I booked it, I was like, it was just, again, like, I feel so lucky. I have the best job in the world.
Nice. Can you tell us a little bit about Katana? Maybe give us a sample?
Oh, I can't. I don't think I can do that. I think you have to.
It's that dreaded NDA again, the non-disclosure agreement.
I don't even know what I can and can't say. I just I err on the side of safety and just be like, tune in, July 6th.
Yeah. we're doing a DVR. We'll be watching.
Oh my gosh, I almost slipped and went into her voice.
Oh. We wouldn't tell anybody. But we've actually had that happen once. Who are you talking to about Arkham Asylum?
Yeah, back when, is it Asylum or, no, it was Arkham City, I think.
Oh, with Mr. Freeze. That's right.
Yeah. We had an interview with Maurice LaMarche, mm-hmm. and there was a question of which type of voice acting did he prefer, whether it was animation, video game, or anime. And I don't think Maurice does a lot of anime, but it was like, it was one of those types of questions. And he's like, well, the thing about video game voice acting is you're, you know, stuck in a room for 12 hours talking to yourself. And he was like, yeah, I just recently finished up Mr. Freeze on the latest Arkham game. And I'm like, we were like, what can you give us? And he's like, I can't NDA. I'm like, oh, damn. But as soon as that happened, and as soon as we published the interview, like, our GeekCastRadio.com just got flooded. We got picked up by a smaller site, and then IGN picked that up, and it went mothball. And the funny thing is he never told us to edit it out. Like, after we finished
recording. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he never told us to edit it out, because we had put it up so fast. And there was never a chance. Like, even before we stopped the Skype call, you know, he didn't say, hey, can you edit that out? I wasn't really supposed to say that. He was just trying to give us a really cool answer, and that's what we got. And it pretty much put us on the map a couple of years ago.
Oh, yes. Well, this is good for you guys. I hope we didn't get in trouble for it.
No, okay. I don't think he did. I mean, he's still working.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not like they kicked him out.
That'd be terrible.
They scare you so much into the secrecy. So I'm like, okay, once it's in the vault, I just keep it there and it never comes out.
Okay. Nice.
At least I try.
Well, you said it premieres when? July 13th?
Yeah, it's soon. It's soon.
Yeah. We can't wait. I know my boys are excited to see the new Batman.
Oh, good. I hope they like it.
Yeah. Well, congrats on Katana.
Thank you.
Yeah, which is interesting because RC in robot mode is a motorcycle that's similar to Suzuki Katana.
Oh my goodness, I can't say anything. I think you were trying to trick me there. See?
No, he wasn't. He had that in the script, and when I read that, I'm like, wait a second. Because he wrote an aside in there about, you know, they don't make katanas anymore, and he means the motorcycle.
Right.
And I'm like, yes, they still make katanas. They still make swords. What is he talking about? I mean, Toto uses them in the Turtles cartoon. Like, oh, he means the motorcycle.
They quit making them in the 80s. So.
Yeah.
Bonus points if you remember what the katana
is. Wait a minute. Is it black and yellow?
What, the katana?
The Suzuki, yeah.
Oh, no, they came in all colors.
Oh, okay, because I think I had a friend who... I had an ex-boyfriend who had one, I think. So that's why I was just curious. I also learned how to ride a motorcycle. So drive a motorcycle, I mean.
Nice.
Now if it only transforms.
Hey, if it only could transform, I know.
I know. All right. So with the current state of the Transformers franchise and conventions being the big thing, have you been to many of the fan conventions?
I mean, in some ways heartbroken because I was supposed to go to Comic-Con last year and I literally went into labor the day I was supposed to leave.
Oh my gosh.
It was, wow. And we knew it was a possibility and we had, you know, but I ended up having our son 3 weeks before my due date. So
oh, wow.
I just figured I'd be, you know, this big pregnant lady, but I was going to do it. Cause I really want to go to the conventions. And because I missed out on that one, I haven't been yet, but I want to go.
Yeah. That was the reason I missed out on a couple BotCons.
Really?
Yeah. BotCon being the Transformers convention.
Your water broke and then you couldn't go to BotCon.
That's exactly right. It was a huge mess. I didn't know what to do with myself. Nobody could explain it. Well, my wife was very, very pregnant, and I'm like, can I fly to Texas to buy toys? And she was like, you know,
no.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Well, you know, one funny thing, I don't know if you're going to choose to edit this out. I'm totally fine if you edit this out. My water broke while I was in the booth.
I was recording,
and I was like, oh, I think I'm about to have a baby. And I completely was just like, I finished the session. I mean, it wasn't long. It was at my agency. Was that?
Wow.
Wow.
That's.
My question would be, what session were you in?
I know, right? No, it was. I can't remember. It was an audition. It was an audition for something at my agency. But I finished it. I was supposed to go back and audition for something else. But I was just like, okay. And I totally nonchalantly. I said, hey, do you mind if I'm just gonna sit down for a little bit while you edit the final, and I'd love to listen to the final. And meanwhile, I'm sitting down thinking to myself, what am I gonna do right now? Oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And then so I decide. So the booth director finishes it. He finishes the audition. He plays it back to me, and I gather up the strength to be like, all right, I tell myself I'm just gonna slowly walk out of here as if nothing's happened, and just. Cool about it. So I walk out and I'm walking by my agent's office, and what happens? She peeks her head out. She's like, "See, Molly, come on in. Let me talk to you." And I was like, "Aw, damn." And so I walk into my agent's office and I'm literally like, "Oh my god, my water is broken and I need to get home. I need to start having this baby." And she's talking to me, and the whole time I'm like, please don't look down. Like, I was like, it's not like in the movies where it's like, you know, buckets or anything like that. It's not like that. But I had a conversation with my agent, and then I walked out, and one of my friends was sitting in the lobby, and I kind of whispered to her what happened, and she drove me home, and then I called the people to tell them that I wasn't going to be able to make it to Comic-Con, and then I had my baby.
Wow.
You can edit all of that out. You can edit all of that out.
Really? Because that's a great story.
the last part we're leaving in. Yeah.
Well, whatever. I mean,
talks about Binkies with his 6 and 4 year old child. No.
Well, the thing that was funny to me was that after, so I was supposed to read two auditions that day, and I was like, okay, I'm not missing out on this one. I'm getting through this one. And I told myself, okay, I'm gonna, it's very possible that if the baby doesn't come today, I can still get back into the booth and do the other one later on this afternoon. And I got home and my husband was like, are you kidding me? You know, he's just like, will you please just put your work aside? And I'm like, I really, that is how much I love my work. I was so crazy that day. I was like, no, I can do it. I can do it. I can bust out another one.
That's right. It doesn't get painful for a couple more hours. We're good. You know,
exactly.
Just keep going.
Whatever. It's not until it's really painful. Then I have to really stop, but I'm fine now.
Oh, wow. I can't imagine.
It was pretty, yeah, I couldn't imagine either. I thought it, I never imagined it would be that way, but it's kind of a funny story at my agency that I,
that's funny.
You know, my water broke while I was recording.
Thankfully, it wasn't during one of the prime sessions.
Actually,
they would never let you live that down.
If it had happened that way, though, it would have been, I think it would have been hilarious. Because, oh, are you kidding? I mean, I have all of these, I mean, they're already like, they're all like my son's uncles, you know, like I have all of these guys like ready to help me. It would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. Yeah, conventions. BotCon is this weekend.
I know. As
we are recording this, we will be releasing it after BotCon. But yeah, as of this recording, we are currently recording right before BotCon starts, and yeah.
I wish I was gonna be there.
Yeah,
me too. Kind of. Well, well, they announced it about a month ago. That the entire cast of the Rescue Bots is going to be there.
Yeah.
And the Rescue Bots is kind of like me and Aiden's thing. You know, we did a show called Roll to the Rescue Bots, and now that I know they are going to be there, I'm thinking, man, I should have taken him this year.
Oh,
that would have been awesome.
Would have been. That's so cute.
Yeah, that would have been great. But you know, next month is San Diego, and you know, you can do that one.
I wait to hear about things, and I hear there's a possibility that I might, and then I don't know, and so I don't know. We'll see.
I'm surprised the TFCon Canada people didn't reach out to you at all yet. TFCon up in Canada, up in Toronto, is the biggest, largest Canadian Transformers convention. It's basically BotCon for Canada.
Wow.
Well,
I'm open. I would love to go. I just Auto Assembly reached out to me, and I thought that was really sweet. Not to attend, but they asked me to donate some stuff for their charity auction, and I had so much fun with that. I was telling you about that earlier, Mike. I was so glad to do that.
I pointed out to you about the subscription variant for Transformers Prime Beast Hunters.
Yeah.
It was an RC cover. Because the thing about some people that I've talked to online, they're like, oh, well, Transformers Prime Beast Hunters comic has nothing to do with the actual show's characters. Why are they putting animation models on covers? And I'm thinking to myself, it specifically says subscription cover, which means if you add the title to your comic shop's list of stuff you want to be able to get every month, then that's a perk for those of you that don't just go in and buy it off the shelf. It's a perk for you to have that, and I think it's great that they're doing that, but I pointed that out to you, and I saw that you had signed it, and I was like, oh, that's so cool that somebody's going to get that.
Oh, I hope so. I had so much fun. Well, thank you to you for pointing it out to me that it was coming out, because you tweeted it. I was like, oh, sweet. So I called up the comic book store at Burbank, and I was like, can you set that aside for me? And they're like, sure.
Very nice.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, this has been a fun, fun journey. Would you like to inform the people where they can find and interact with you online?
Absolutely. You can find me mostly on Twitter these days. My Twitter name is my name, but it's the phonetic spelling. So it's at Sue Molly, SueMolly. You can also find me on Facebook. I've got a fan page for our Sue Molly as RC. So Transformers fans have a place to interact with me there.
Yeah. And I'll link those in the post so that way people can see them when they go to the website.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, I mean, those are my kind of social media. I'm not on Instagram yet. I'm not on anything else. Twitter.
Twitter and Facebook are it for me. I don't get the appeal for Instagram, and I don't get the appeal for Pinterest or any of that stuff. It's just too much to keep up with.
Thank you. I so appreciate it. That's how I feel.
Yeah. So remind the listeners what you've got coming up. We know you're in as RC in Prime. What else? Is there something else?
There's a bunch of things, but I can't say anything about them.
So there's like nothing coming in the next couple of months. After
it's all about Beware the Batman. That is what I can say, and I stand by it, and I'm so proud and excited to get to play alongside. See, I got myself all tongue twisted again. I don't want to say too much, I don't want to say too little, but I am so excited to play Katana.
All right. We would like to thank Ms. Montano for taking the time to chat with us here in this All Things Transformers interview. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back after this.
Hey, partner. Heck of a view you got up here. If there's even a small chance your spark is out there listening, well, we could really use you, Cliff. Seems like every day another Decepticon arrives on the scene. We're outnumbered and outgunned. Yeah, I know what you'd say. Sounds like a fair fight.
Hi, I'm Denise Sands. Just wanted to welcome you to the neighborhood and to our zero-tolerance spitting policy.
I'm calling a meeting at Woo Fortress in 2 days. The topic of discussion will be the joining of villainous forces for total control of China once and for all.
Wow, what a cool planet. They got an underwater capital and everything. Is that where the king lives? I never met a king before.
Hey, you, get that out of my way. Remember that the favor I did for you? Yeah, I need that back.
Honey, it's been 15 minutes. I don't think the boomerang's coming back.
You know, you're okay when you're not putting your foot in your mouth. What did I just say?
I don't want to fight you. I don't want to do this. Please, for your own sake, don't get involved.
Today, I'm going to show you how to make a cake using lots and lots of sugar. Sugar, sugar, sugar.
Long before the Cameron Empire, all ships docked in Lysan, gateway to the Sea of Castile.
This is for Cliff Jumper!
I will add this defeat to your dossier.
I'm not done yet.
So much for closure.
Now Arachnid's stuck here on Earth. I'm not sure that's such a good thing.
I'm sorry you had to face my demons today. You were pretty fearless there, Jack.
Actually, I was terrified. Mostly for you.
Ratchet, requesting ground bridge.
I need to get my partner far away from any oversized insects.
Partner, huh?
Junior partner. I can still pull rank.
Well, there you go, folks. You know, stories, you know, Peter Cullen as Archie and Frank Welker as Edith and cheese coming out of Darren Norris's nose and water breaks at auditions, and that's Sumali Montano for you.
That was a great interview. She is just a really nice person.
She is a very, very nice person, and it was absolutely amazing to talk to her.
Yeah.
You know, she said a couple of times that her and I had tested before we did the interview, and I don't know, we talked for about 10-15 minutes during the test, and she's just very, very cool, very awesome person. Even though Transformers Prime Beast Hunters is the last season, seriously, Transformers convention people, go after her. She wants to be at conventions. She wants to have the fan interaction. So that would be awesome for her to show up at a couple of the conventions. But no, that was such an awesome time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I wish her the best of luck. I know she's got just amazing things ahead of her.
Yes.
You know, since Beast Hunters is the last season, which is just depressing at this point. Because this is the first season I've actually enjoyed.
Oh, don't say that. Don't bring your negativity towards.
I kid. But no, I mean, like I said, I did I mention this earlier, or was it on non-recorded? But I think I mentioned that. Yeah, I could definitely see a fourth season coming before the fourth Transformer movie, and it's just sad that we can't see more of RC and Team Prime.
Yeah, no, I love, I enjoyed RC and G1 for what, you know, for what little she's there every now and then, but this is my RC at this point. Like, the Transformers Prime version is my RC.
This is how we'll always remember RC.
At this point, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
At this point, yes. And, Sumali, she's a complete saint, and, you know, putting up with us for an hour or so. So, yeah. And of course, check out Beware the Batman coming up Saturday morning, July 13th on Cartoon Network. You can catch Transformers Prime every Friday night when it's on a hiatus on the Hub. I believe that's 7:30.
Starting tomorrow.
Eastern, yes.
The last season.
Yeah, last season of Beast Hunters, but actually, because this will be going out till Monday, the latest episode, Evolution, just aired this past weekend during BotCon, so very, very, very cool, and thank you so much to Sumali, and we are going to get out of here, because it's getting late in the day and late in the night, and wherever you're listening to this, so for now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Transform and roll out, and we will catch you next time.
See ya.
Hey, it's Jack. Make sure you check out All Things Transformers. I listen when I'm riding around Jasper with RC.
Hi, this is Sumali Montano, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Some came to annihilate us. Some came to defend us. The battle continues.
Fate rarely calls upon us at a moment of our choosing.
Transformers Prime, only on the Hub.